It's really wonderful to be here this morning. What a tour de force we've just had. Goodness me, there was something for everyone, wasn't there? Matt parting in a hot tub. Matt Chapman accompanied by all those superheroes and facing fear because he, the one and only, is with us. And we had that wonderful example of giving ourselves to the Lord again, didn't we? Dear Lord, here I am. I tell you what, if we do that this morning, life is transformed. Praise the name of the one and only, who's our Lord, our Savior, our King. And do you remember the memory verse? I'm talking to all of you. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Isn't that a precious word to remember? And how good just now to hear from Matt and Michelle Barrow. And they were asking us to pray for wisdom, for funds, for a visit when that's possible, and for the one of the many that they love and care for, Ibrahim. So please remember them in prayer, and also Finnica that we heard from last night. It's a great blessing, isn't it, to be involved in each other's lives and to be part together in this virtual conference weekend. I'd just like to share for a few moments with you this morning. It's a great privilege to be able to do that. We were so encouraged last night to hear the Lord's word come into us so clearly and to be reminded of this wonderful fact that he is singing over us the Father's song. What blessing. What privilege is ours. You may be feeling this morning, perhaps a little bit, as Madame Guillon once said, like a little bird shut from the fields of the air. And in my cage I sit. And what did she say she did? She sang to him who placed her there. And then she went on to say this, well pleased, a prisoner to be, because my God, it pleases thee. My cage confines me round. Abroad I cannot fly, but though my wing is closely bound, my soul is at liberty. For prison walls cannot control the flight, the freedom of the soul. Isn't that precious? Precious words from a woman who was actually in prison at the time. Glory to God. I want you to know and be reminded again that he's singing over you, and your spirit is unconfined. Your spirit can soar, can run, can walk, can know the renewing, wonderful resurrection power of Christ, who is not hindered, who is not confined. Isn't that so precious to remember these things? Now, come with me for a moment, if you would, in your imaginations, to a barren, black, volcanic wasteland of Mordor. Now, if anyone's familiar with Tolkien, you'll know where I've just gone. If you're not, bear with me. In Tolkien's fictional world of Middle-earth, Mordor is the land of shadow, the realm of the evil Sauron. And it's here we find Sam, Samwise Gamgee, his name is. And he's with his broken friend, Frodo. And they're on their mission impossible, endeavoring to destroy the Ring of Power in the fires of Mount Doom. And I know some of you are on the phone, so I'm just going to read what I've shared on the screen. The context is bleak, it's black, it's dark. And there, peeping among the cloud rack, above a dark tor high up in the mountains, Sam saw a white star twinkle for a while. The beauty of it smote his heart as he looked up out of the forsaken land, and hope returned to him. For like a shaft, clear and cold, the thought pierced him that in the end, the shadow was only a small and passing thing. There was light and high beauty forever beyond its reach. A star twinkled for a moment, and the beauty of it smote his heart, and he looked up. I want to say to you, friends, look up, see the morning star. I'm feeling songs coming on again. You're probably with me. Morning star, the Father's glory, we now worship and adore you. In our hearts, your light has risen. Jesus, Lord, we worship you. Has the beauty of Christ smitten your heart? Have you seen a vision of this Christ, this morning star, this Son of Righteousness risen with healing in his wings? Has his beauty captivated your heart? I tell you what, this is what causes our spirits to soar. And when we, as the writer of Rock of Ages says, when we breathe our last, we'll soar to worlds unknown. And we'll see him on the judgment throne, and we'll find to our amazement that we are recipients of amazing grace. Those who have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Do you realize that this morning, that whatever your circumstances may be, if you're his, you have the beauty and joy of heaven living inside you. He's so wonderful. Like Matt said on that message to the young people, but it was a message to all of us. He's not just out there. He's in here. He's with us through thick and thin. And he is the hope of glory in our hearts. We're reminded in Philippians that we're to do all things without complaining and disputing, that we may become harmless, blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And then it says this, among whom you, sons of God, you shine as lights in the world, holding fast and holding forth the word of life. Do you realize, people of God, you shine with the beauty, the incomparable beauty of Christ. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise the one. Oh, praise the one who made an end to all our sin and has made it possible for us to shine. Those who were broken and apparently irretrievably lost. Now, by the amazing grace of this one, we're able to shine as lights in a dark world. I don't know if you've noticed that it has to be quite dark for us to be able to see the stars. Look up, friends. See the morning star afresh. His light has risen in our hearts. And listen, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming again. Let that wonderful truth dawn afresh, deep inside, filling our vision. Look up. Look up and see him. The return of the King is nigh. And in that light, I just want to share a few brief thoughts as we have time together this morning. Now, it's fair to say, I think you probably gathered this, that there's a range of, I'm going to use a big word, I don't know if any of the young kids are still with me, apologies if you are, there's a range of eschatological views out there, aren't there? And we're not going to break them down. It's okay. but there is unanimous agreement amongst God's people that Christ is the returning King. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is on his way back soon. Praise him. One verse in every 25 in the New Testament deals with the Lord's return. It's mentioned 318 times in 260 chapters. That's quite a good stat right there. You might want to take notes, or maybe not. That's fine. It's up to you. The return of Jesus is mentioned in every book of the New Testament except Galatians and the very short ones, 2 and 3 John and Philemon. That's fairly compelling. It's a rich theme. He's coming back. I'm so excited. I can barely contain myself. The King is coming back. Oh, glory. We can only interpret some of the awfulness of what goes on in this broken world in the light of the fact that he's coming back to put everything right. Oh, praise him. Praise him. In the Old Testament, the place of prominence of this wonderful truth was maybe initially missed. This is due to the fact that many of the Old Testament prophecies deal not with Christ's first advent as sin bearer, but in fact with his second coming. But initially it was seen as just, it was going to be his coming. So it was a little bit misunderstood, but now we know a lot of the prophecies are actually referring to the return of the King. Glory to his name. Lift up your heads. Look up. Let your hearts be smitten with his beauty afresh, and realize that in the end, the shadow is only a small and passing thing in the light of this, the light and high beauty of Christ that is forever beyond the reach of the darkness. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We worship you, the joy of heaven, the Father's glory, risen in our hearts and coming again. So in the light of this glorious fact, I want to just share a few thoughts perhaps about living in the light of this reality. Firstly, there's the challenge of sanctification. Wouldn't you agree? If we realize afresh that the King of Glory is coming back, there is intrinsic in that realization a serious motivation to live godly lives in Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this from Titus. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live. Can I just emphasize that for a moment? The fact of the return of the King should not have us apathetic and laying down our tools, so to speak. We are called to live. Live life in all its fullness. And this wonderful exhortation to holiness is that we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Oh, don't you just love the word of God? It's like pure water to refresh a weary soul. We need to preach to ourselves, friends. We need to read the word and eat it and engage fully in this present time in the light of his coming. Can I just say too that holiness is not restrictive and narrow and mean and strict. It's a narrow way. There's only one way, my friends. But when you come in through the one and only door and you have to let go of everything else to get through, he brings you out, my friends, into worlds as yet undiscovered, the great undiscovered country of the spirit. And we go on the greatest adventure you could ever embark on. Oh, praise him. And this is just the beginning. This is just the foretaste of glory divine. Are you with me? Oh, praise him. Oh, praise the one. Oh, bless the glorious King of Kings. Let his beauty smite your heart and break you and spoil you for anything else. The King is coming. What a challenge to holiness. What a challenge to live pure. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed in all his power and glorious beauty, when he is revealed, we shall be like him. I know we're familiar, many of you are familiar with these verses, but let them distill deep into your spirit this morning and refresh and water your soul, so that we may be once again, as if perhaps for the first time, but on a whole new level of depth and breadth and length and height, we may be captivated with the beauty and wonder of Christ, our coming King. We shall see him as he is. And listen, everyone who has this hope in him, in Christ, purifies himself just as he is pure. Wow. Isn't that amazing? And that is directly linked with the fact of his return. Praise him. Praise him. Peter says, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the same thing. And in that passage, he goes on to say, be holy, for I am holy. Listen, this isn't restrictive. God is not a spoil sport and mean. We've been hoodwinked by the enemy. Holiness is the greatest liberty. The parameters are there for us to be able to function as we were designed to function. Oh, praise God, we can freely eat. Oh, hallelujah. So I encourage you to feast on him. He's delightful. Praise his wonderful name. If the return of Jesus has made a real impression on our thinking, then we would more easily let go of, relinquish, shun and flee from all that is inconsistent with his life and live free and clear in the light of the imminent return of the King. Paul, John and Peter all agree the hope of glory should have a purifying effect on our living right now. Amen. And secondly, so we've had the challenge of sanctification. Secondly, oh, praise him. And we heard this in the songs he's singing over us. We heard this last night. There's comfort for the suffering. Comfort for the suffering. And boy, are his people suffering in various parts of the world right now, especially. And also in the broader context of what we are passing through, there is a suffering. Whether that's physical or mental, emotional, whatever it is. But there's comfort, my friends, in the light of the imminent return of the King. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Oh, glory to God. He's coming with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. He's with us now, like Matt Chapman reminded us. And we shall always be with him for all eternity, pure bliss and glory. Oh, praise God. And it says at the end, Paul says, therefore, and I've read all of those words on purpose for comfort. There's comfort for the suffering. Therefore, comfort one another with these words, which is why I read those words. Receive them as comfort to your hearts. Amen. Amen. Peter wrote to the scattered people of God, the persecuted people of God, and he was comforting them with the hope that was in their hearts. Christ is coming again. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Listen to this from Amy Carmichael. Sorrow is one of those things that is lent, not given. A thing that is lent may be taken away. A thing that is given is not taken away. Joy, my friends, is given from God. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. You're shedding tears now, my friends. But he's going to wipe them all away. Listen, as Amy goes on, we are not our own. We're bought with a price, and our sorrow is not our own. It's lent to us for just a little while. Listen, the shadow is just a passing thing. Amy says that we may use this that's lent to us for eternal purposes, and then it will be taken away forever, and everlasting joy will be our Father's gift to us, and the Lord God himself will wipe away every tear from off of our faces. And those tears right now, in the brokenness of this broken world, as we groan in the Spirit, praying for others to know him before the time is up, those tears are treasured and bottled by the one whose heart forever beats with passionate love. Oh, the beauty of Christ. And finally, there's a call, a fresh call to sonship. There's the challenge of sanctification. There is comfort for the suffering, and there is a call, a compelling call, a constraining call to truly be the sons of God. This is all in the light of the imminent return of the King of Glory, whose beauty is to smite our hearts, captivate our attention, our vision. We read, didn't we, in 1 John, behold, what manner of love. What manner of love is this? We do well to ponder it again and again. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. We heard last night, he's singing songs of love over us, his people. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So I urge you, my friends, to fulfill your destiny, to live life to the full, to let your spirit soar. And you know what? It's the earnest expectation of the creation, which is eagerly awaiting for this. What is it? What is it waiting for? The revealing of the sons of God. Oh, hallelujah. So, to conclude, the return of Jesus, the return of King Jesus is such a strong motivation and encouragement to godly living, and at times even to go on living. God's clearly revealed purpose in the scriptures to bring many sons to glory, that these sons should be conformed to the image of his son, that he, the son with a big, massive, capital S, might be the firstborn among many brethren. The fact of Christ's return clearly has a bearing on our present history, as well as upon history's end. And we along, I trust, with creation, eagerly look for and await the return of the King. For in the end, listen again, can I just borrow from Tolkien once more? For in the end, the shadow is only a small and passing thing. There is light and high beauty forever beyond its reach. I'm just going to pray as we close, and then I'll hand back to my dear friend and brother, Dave Vine. It's a simple prayer, this, but you open your heart wide to the fresh infill and rush and compelling beauty of Christ. He's here to pour in without hindrance, without let. We're going to pray. Lord Jesus, captivate our hearts afresh with your beauty. Your glory is so beautiful. We fall onto our knees in awe, and the heartbeat of our lives is to worship in your light, for your glory is so beautiful. Amen.